Hello and welcome to Deja Movie. This is Matt, joined here by co-host Angel. Say hello to our audience. That's great. This is the pilot episode of our brand new podcast, and we are attempting to iron out the details, the format, and get our heads back in the game. As they say, as the idiom goes, we recently concluded a multi-year podcast called Crack Encrypted and Curios, in which we explored the world of the paranormal. But along the way, we really discovered our one true love, the movies. Angel, when you hear the word movie, what's the first movie that comes to your mind?
The first movie that comes to my mind is actually the first movie ever made, Citizen Kane.
Orson Welles famously invented movies.
He did all the things, actually.
Mm-hmm. He made the camera. He invented acting and scripts.
I mean, who else would have done it if not for him?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. I mean, it's probably Orson Welles. So what's your favorite part of Citizen Kane?
I think it's the part where he says, Rosebud.
God. I always loved in, like, things 1990s, they always referenced Citizen Kane for some reason.
Yeah. I think when describing something great, you would say something like, the Citizen Kane of blanks.
And AI loves to do that now, too. Just ask it to do something related to movies, and it's going to pump out something. The something of, or the Citizen Kane of something.
They love it. Yeah, so basically AI is stuck in the 90s.
Or Orson Welles made it too. In this podcast, we are aiming to discover, what do people really remember about movies? Some movies are timeless classics that have specific scenes or quotes that are burned into our collective life experiences. But memory can be a fickle beast. Sometimes we misremember plot points, can't recall the characters or actors portraying anybody, or even if a movie existed. It boils down to the idea, did I actually watch this movie before? As we go on this journey, we may find out, are some movies just better left forgotten? As an example, what movie do you want to absolutely forget about, Angel?
Quite a few, actually. Thankfully, I can't remember the truly heinous ones, and I'm assuming they are heinous because I don't remember them. But what I haven't forgotten is Gigli, the Ben Affleck Jennifer Lopez love story.
Did you actually watch it?
I have. It's burned into my brain. Because
just needed a rom-com? It's, and Ben Affleck was going to give it to you?
More than a rom-com, okay? It is the it's what happens when two folks in love say, hey, let's make a movie where we're two folks in love. And also,
You can't act. You don't have to act. They were already in love.
Yeah, but there is acting involved on Jennifer Lopez's part, right? Because Ben Affleck's like, whatever, I love this woman. I don't have to do much. But Jennifer Lopez, she's like, I have to play a lesbian and somehow fall in love with a man.
What?
I guess we know what movie we're gonna be watching next.
I had no earthly idea that was the plot of the movie. Why?
It's basically like Chasing Amy, but Ben Affleck, well, he's in both.
Isn't anyway. He in that too?
Yes. But I guess this is Ben Affleck's baby this time around. I don't know. It's
a Ben Affleck trope. Along with our attempts to rediscover these movies that our memories may have purged, or unfortunately in the case of Gigli, not purged enough, Gigli, we will be discovering a bit of where they came from, their history, and what we perceive as the high and low points. We shall see if something is best left a memory, or if it's more important to face a harsh reality that not everything you remember is true. Now, Angel, what is a ballpark number of how many movies you have seen in your lifetime?
Well, if I'm including movies I've seen on television, movies made for TV, movies straight to to video. Straight to
DVD.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's in the hundreds.
The low hundreds, like 102?
No. Maybe the mid to high hundreds.
Mid. Good on you using the language of today.
In the wrong way.
In the early days of Netflix streaming, I consumed so many movies in which watching movies was probably my main time sink outside of working in college classes, to the point where I've forgotten more movies than I remember now. So, however, even with our combined thousands of hours spent on movies, we're getting to that mastery level. I think that's 10,000 hours.
Yep.
Probably masters, the two of us combined, one master.
And
two
then,
men, one master.
And then that means we have domain over all movies, right?
Yep. I don't know what you mean, but yes. There are still so many movies left unseen or even unheard of. But with that amount of consumption on our part, I think we are adequately prepared to foresee, say, like the predictable story beats of how a movie will play out. So in the event that one of us didn't see a specific movie that we're featuring on this show, that individual will be tasked with predicting what happens in the movie just based off of the movie poster. With all that housekeeping out of the way, what movie are we featuring this episode, Angel?
We are going to be talking about the 1995 classic known as Operation Dumbo Drop, starring Ray Liotta, rest in peace, Danny Glover, and Dennis Leary, rest in peace. Dougie Doug and Corin Nemec are also stars. You might have noticed I listed Leary as part of the top billing. I don't think the execs did, though.
Why? Were they ashamed?
They could just slip past them.
Oh, yeah, he's in that movie. Had you ever seen this before I watched it for our episode?
I have seen the trailers when I was a kid growing up. I cannot remember if I ever saw the trailers and thought to myself, I want to watch that.
I don't know what scenario was created where I watched this movie, but I did when I was a child. I have seen this movie. I presume I was at the video store and rented it on VHS, because a thing that I would do when I was younger is, so typically on like Friday, we'd go to the movie store, I would rent a video game and then also rent a movie, and then I would watch the movie Saturday and then also watch it again Sunday morning. That was like a double feature, the same damn movie.
Well, you gotta watch.
I don't know
why
I did it, but I did it many times.
I think you only got like 2 days before you could return it, so you gotta, take it all in.
Gotta get my $3.99's worth. So, what memories remain of the movie Operation Dumbo Drop? To be clear and transparent, I wrote down all the memories I had of this movie before actually watching it, so as not to spoil and taint the precious memories I had. I remember specifically watching this movie on VHS in 96 when I was 10 years old. However, the ironclad specifics pretty much end right there. That's a full stop end of my guarantee of what I know about this movie. I don't think that's a good sign of things to come. So I do recall the army having to transport an elephant in a foreign country. Somewhere in Asia was my understanding of what was going on. To the purpose of the titular Dumbo Drop was the elephant was needed to help a breeding operation due to a declining population. On top of that, I believe the movie to be taking place in modern day, so in the 90s. I did not understand. I wrote this down and I love it. I have vivid memories of Dennis Leary's character outside a big top carnival and being responsible for handling this elephant. So basically, the movie opens up, and I have this memory. The movie opens up with Dennis Leary owning a failed owning a failed carnival with an elephant show, and he is desperate to make some money. So he has to bring it to another country with the help of the army. I also recalled his character being like a kind of a con man and just being untrustworthy at his most basic nature. I remember of Ray Liotta's character as being simply a no-nonsense soldier. I remember nothing else of his character. I believed Danny Glover was the head of the team and in charge of everything that was going on, but I don't remember a single thing about his character either. I have a very strong memory of the elephant getting stuck in a doorway and a shootout occurring in a small village, and at some point in the movie, somewhere, the elephant helps with construction of a building. Specifically, I have no memory of Lynn, one of the main characters, or the other two soldiers at all. I really don't recall any story beats at all besides they just travel with an elephant. And I also didn't remember any airplanes. For some reason, I had the idea that they used helicopters to move the elephant. I feel like I remember seeing the, and I think I know where this comes from, maybe seeing the cover, like the VHS cover, and it shows the elephant Botat being dropped, and he's attached to a parachute. But I think I remember maybe the parachute lines being like a helicopter holding the elephant in the air, and I think that's where that memory comes from. So, now, having not seen this movie before, Angel, is there anything that you remember hearing or seeing anything about it at all?
Well, definitely not hearing. Nobody was talking about this movie.
you weren't going to, what, sixth grade? And
all of my friends were not talking about this movie.
Yo, did you see the Dumbo drop?
See the elephant?
Vietnam War? It wasn't a common thing you talked about?
But the only thing I can't remember is from the trailers, from the commercials. All I can think of is there's army people and there's an elephant. And I'm not sure if I'm misremembering the trailer itself, but it was kind of like framing the film as this bonkers comedy with elephants. Like, oh man, what are these army people gonna get into now? And crazy hijinks abound.
Because the elephant, I mean, by its nature, a funny animal.
Indeed.
Can you name a funnier animal? You can't. That has to be airlifted. I mean, so many situational comedy moments that they write themselves.
I mean, an elephant is funny, right? That's why people say the elephant in the room, right? But also, the writer said, how can we make it funnier? Airplanes.
Elephants in the air? They can't do that.
I mean, this is Disney. They already did this concept once in Dumbo. They're like, a flying elephant. So this movie, they're like, let's do that again.
This time in a war zone. So since you didn't see it, you are also tasked with attempting to predict what occurs in this movie. Good luck. It almost goes without saying, but you wrote down your predictions prior to watching because that would defeat the entire purpose of everything if you wrote them down after watching. So now, near the end of this episode, we will see how close my memories were to reality and if your predictions are closer to the end product than what I remember. So what are your predictions for Operation Dumbo Drop? As the kids say nowadays, predict me, Daddy.
Well, this is so based on what I could remember from the trailers, I tried to piece together what I know about how movies work. And knowing that this is meant to be a comedy, I tried to make it as funny. In fact, I feel like this is the movie I want to watch, basically. So we have...
So I know you're wrong then. I didn't want to watch it as a child.
Exactly. Dennis Leary, Danny Glover, and Ray Liotta are in the army. There's probably at least one of them is a general, is what I said. Don't know why. The rest are the grunts, and they're tasked to dump an elephant somewhere because of reasons.
I love the hierarchy of there's a general that's just working with grunts. There's no middle management.
Well, this is Disney. You know, they don't think those things through. Anyway, the reasons. What are those reasons for dumping this elephant somewhere? It's because of terrorists, probably. The terrorists. Those
Disney terrorist movies.
So, well, this just goes to show that I also had no idea of the time period of when this was taking place. The terrorists are terrorizing some country, probably Zimbabwe, and its zoo is in danger. Except that zoo only has one elephant, and the U.S. felt the need to intervene. Probably some child wrote a letter to the United States Army, or the child is one of the soldiers' kids, pleading for the rescue of this elephant.
What?
So the good-natured U.S. of A's army couldn't say no to a child, and the president himself signed off on this, so it's got to be done. So Danny Glover, Dennis Leary, and the other guy are then heading the mission.
The other guy? Poor Ray.
With names like Lieutenant Jack, Private Axel, and Private Ray Liotta, with no doubt Axel.
Is he playing himself?
With no doubt Axel being all the incredulous about dropping this Dumbo and Jack being all, hey, that's the job. Ray Liotta just smirks. Because that's what his character does in my film, apparently.
He doesn't have any lines. He just grimaces.
I think you'll get a kick out of what Ray Liotta, what happens to Ray Liotta throughout my film here. So this is meant to be a comedy. So they'll be infiltrating the country that they got to get the elephant out from the zoo, right? And so they find, apparently it's a baby elephant. This is what I wrote because I didn't realize it was a full grown elephant.
Adult elephant.
Yeah. So they're getting this baby elephant, and it's either Danny Glover or Dennis Leary, never Ray Liotta. They have to herd this elephant, and probably Danny Glover falls in the elephant poop, and Dennis Leary laughs until he falls in the poop too. See, funny stuff. They hate this elephant and this mission and think it's all a joke, but they persevere. Of course, something happens where a spy, probably a local, is aware of what's going on, and now we are on the edge of our seat because we want our heroes to succeed. An obstacle is in place, such as a broken down vehicle or a walkie-talkie that is broken. This is when our intrepid heroes spend more time with the elephant and start to care for it. At some point, there's a song they all sing.
What?
You know,
songs in your movie?
Yeah, I mean, Disney, come on. Also, someone slips in mud for more funnies. Never Ray Liotta. We reach the peak where the bad guys catch up to our heroes. Also, they're apparently Russian, the bad guys, and cause problems. But finally, the Dumbo saves the day and finally has endeared itself to Dennis Leary, or is it Glover? Never Ray, though. And they can come home to fanfare and delights. And at some point, they drop the elephant. I don't know.
Out of what?
You know, things. Kind of. I thought Operation Dumbo Drop was kind of like a metaphor. I didn't think it was a literal thing.
I think you put more effort into your movie than they did of theirs.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Surprisingly, there are probably many people who have never seen Operation Dumbo Drop, so please, Angel, for their benefit and for everyone who hasn't seen this movie in a while, can you give us a summary of what this movie is? As a bit of a twist to make you really think about it, the summary has to be in the style of a social media post and cannot exceed more than 280 characters.
Here's my summary. U.S. Army in Vietnam accidentally get village elephant killed. They go get a new elephant for peace.
Yeah, that's the movie. That's right. Good job. You did it. I'm impressed. We both watched this movie on Disney+. So if you have that service, you too can enjoy Operation Dumbo Drop. If you want to get really fancy, I saw that there is a 20th anniversary edition Blu-ray that was released that includes exclusive, the box says, magical memories straight from the Disney archives. No clue what that is, but the lowest point price point I could find that for was $29.95, and I would rather leave those magical memories behind that excessive paywall. Too much. With that said, Angel, can you take us through some of Operation Dumbo Drop's stats to give us a base understanding of where this movie comes from?
The movie was directed by Simon Winsor of Free Willy fame. It was released...
Good movie. Maybe. I don't remember.
I do remember them making a big deal about, like, animatronic orcas, but whatever.
What? It wasn't always a live orca?
Hey, another movie for the list. So, Operation Dumbo Drop was released on July 28, 1995, and it was budgeted at $24 million, allegedly, because the Wikipedia has a question mark next to that, so... whatever. And apparently it barely broke even. It's made 24 million and some $100,000 dollars plus, so
which would make it not even breaking even. That's a loss.
Jesus.
You gotta get more than the budget, because I don't imagine would include marketing and all that stuff too.
Well, here's an interesting tidbit. It was in the first week that it was released, it made about $6 million in the box office. And you know who beat out Operation Dumbo Drop with $21
million? I do. During this time, the man of the hour, the man of 1990s himself, Kevin Costner in Waterworld.
That's right. Waterworld, the greatest movie ever, apparently. At least better than Operation Dumbo Drop. So I guess that'll kind of give you an idea, for those of you who have not watched this movie. It could give you an idea of where Operation Dumbo Drop lies in the hierarchy of great films. The movie was inspired by a true event. How true those events? Well, elephants were involved. Transporting them were involved. But... I'm pretty sure...
And the Vietnamese were involved.
And the Vietnamese were involved. But I'm pretty sure everything in the you see in the movie is fictionalized.
Very much so.
As you know, one is to do when basing a movie on true events.
So director Simon Winsor, as you said, hot off the heels of another animal movie, Free Willy, provides us with a lighthearted Vietnam war family movie starring a variety of actors, as you said, including Danny Glover as Captain Sam Cahill, who is a veteran captain in this story. Ray Liotta as Captain T.C. Doyle. I don't recall if they ever revealed what the T and C mean. The back of the Blu-ray, that 20th anniversary one I mentioned, describes him as a by-the-book West Point captain, which I don't know where they pulled that information from, because I absolutely refuse to believe that that was ever mentioned in the movie. Both Cahill and Doyle are Green Berets, which I don't know if that really matters, because no other soldiers they encounter ever seem to care that they are special forces, and in fact they seem, it seems like everyone just looks down upon them, like, yep. These two are just like here to waste everybody's time. When you think Danny Glover, what movies come to mind first for you?
Obviously, Lethal Weapon and Be Kind, Rewind.
He's in that?
He is.
With Jack Black?
With Jack Black.
I don't remember him at all.
And Mos Def.
Yeah, I remember Mos Def, but not... Is he like an old grumpy guy that lives in
the
town?
Well, he's not the grumpy guy. I think he's the guy that owns the store, the VHS store.
Hmm.
Yep.
I remember him in the go-to Danny Glover for me is Predator 2.
Ah, yes.
How about Ray Liotta then?
Goodfellas, for sure. However, I'm going to answer your question. The TC in Captain TC Doyle stands for Captain the Captain Doyle.
Wow. He was like premonition to be in the military, naming him the Captain. The captain. Oh, captain, my captain.
Yeah, I don't think I know Ray Liotta from anything else other than Goodfellas.
You know, as I was thinking about this, I don't recall ever watching many Ray Liotta films at all or just remembering them much at all, my first thoughts of where I'm coming with Ray Liotta is Wild Hogs, starring Tim Allen, a biker movie where he's the bad guy. And then also, if anyone has seen this on Netflix, Hubie Halloween with Adam Sandler movie where Ray plays like a jackass. Beyond that, I have zero references for Ray Liotta, just beyond knowing who he is.
I know I've seen him in something else more recent, but I can't remember.
Possibly the most surprising casting comes in the form of Dennis Leary as Lieutenant David Poole, the requisitions officer tasked with finding the Dumbo to drop. On Leary's IMDb page under trademarks, because they have a trademarks area, it states, foul-mouthed, stream-of-consciousness comedy about smoking, drinking, macho men, and or beautiful women. Is this odd casting for a 1995 family movie, specifically Leary?
I don't think it's that odd. You know, they wanted a comedy, and they probably said, hey, this Dennis Leary character's funny, I guess, because he's a comedian. Let's bring him on. I mean, I'm thinking that's what they did with Bob Saget for Full House. I mean, his comedy is not family-friendly at all.
Yeah, completely the opposite of what he portrays Danny Tanner as.
So maybe Disney was like chuckling to themselves thinking, haha, look at us being funny ourselves because we're bringing this raunchy dude into this family-friendly film.
But I suppose it wasn't his first foray into family films because he was in The Sandlot in 93, but I also recall being a child and watching that movie, seeing Dennis Leary and thinking he doesn't belong in this movie.
I don't remember Dennis Leary in The Sandlot. So
he was the dad of the main, either stepdad or dad of the main character, the one that they take the Babe Ruth ball from.
Yeah, I still don't remember him.
I think it's a Babe Ruth ball. I mean, memories, they're a bastard.
I know, that sounds correct.
He also goes on to voice in Small Soldiers, also A Bug's Life, and then both those in 98, so after Operation Dumbo Drop, and then the seemingly never-ending Ice Age series.
Oh, he's also that's in right. That.
I believe he's the Sabretooth.
I knew that, but then I forgot.
So I suppose it's not uncommon for him, but it still seems, for this movie, it just seems out of place.
Yeah, I mean, there was...
He does a fine job, but...
He does, yeah, I mean, if he's reading from a script, sure. Like, there's not... It's not like he's riffing off of anything.
He's out there just ad-libbing his lines.
I mean, he couldn't, because everyone knows he's a well-known plagiarist of comedy.
What?
Yes. He lifted most of Bill Hicks's routines. And
I never knew.
Yeah, and everyone's like, how come nobody ever called him out on it?
It was the 90s. So rounding out the cast, we have Cora Nemec of Parker Lewis Can't Lose fame as Lawrence Farley. Dougie Doug as H.A. Ashford. Din Thien Lee as Lin, and featuring James Hong and French actor Checky Cairo, who I thoroughly enjoyed in the Mel Gibson movie The Patriot. He was the French Frenchman that helps Mel Gibson's character. So I was happy to see him show up in this movie. That was a nice treat for me.
Was he the boat? What? The boat guy?
He's the boat captain. Oh, yeah, the boat captain of the French ship. Yep. And they sing opera together, and like Danny Glover is just like at least a second behind Chechki's character singing the opera, and then he just starts laughing as part of the opera. It's a weird scene. He's just having fun. Yep. Just some Danny Glover fun, I call it. Whenever I see him in a movie, oh, he's having Danny Glover fun. So what do you think of this cast as the vessel to bring us lighthearted, somewhat comical elephant situations during the Vietnam War?
We know Danny Glover from Lethal Weapon, and...
But he plays the straight man.
Right? So we need the funny guy, and I guess that's what Dennis Leary is supposed to do. But the thing is, he doesn't really interact with Danny all that much. Only when, you know, Danny's threatening him with coming on a trip, or I'll reveal the secret to you know who.
Yep, that's their only connection is I'm basically blackmailing you to do this. And whenever Dennis Leary's character wants to get out of this situation, Danny Glover's character, Cahill, just says, yeah, I'll reveal the truth. And then Dennis Leary's like, ah, you got me.
Yeah, so most of the time it's actually Danny Glover and Ray Liotta who are kind of butting mm-hmm. heads. And it's like, okay. I mean, it's fine, but it's not a comedy, you know? Like, if they didn't label this a comedy, it'd be okay.
Between them, there is no comedy. All the comedy comes from elephant situations.
And that's
And James Hong.
Yeah, and even that's kind of like being generous.
He was blind. It was so funny. It wasn't. So if Doug Richards, writer of movies such as Bad Boys and Die Hard 2, is to be believed, even the studio didn't really think the leads were optimal for a comedy, as this was meant to be a full-blown elephant comedy, and it was made clear to Richardson that Disney intended this movie to be a comedy. So while James Morris, Gene Quintano, and Jim Koof are given the writing credits for Operation for Dumbo Drop, Richardson states in a 2013 script article that he was contacted with an offer of $100,000 a week for 13 weeks to rewrite the script on location because it just wasn't funny enough. So on location in Thailand. Now, Green Beret James Morris wrote a chapter in his book, Fighting Men, about Green Beret John Gant's involvement in Operation, I think it's Barroom, or Operation Barroom, it's not clear, I'm going Barroom, about lifting two elephants by helicopter during the Vietnam War, which provides the basis of the movie and gives Morris the story credit in this. As far as I can tell, that's the extent of Morris's involvement. Gene Quintano, Angel, he wrote several of your favorite movies, including Police Academy 3, 4, and 5. I'm sure at some point during this show, we will reveal the story about how you were conceived during a viewing of the first Police Academy, but not this episode. Quintano also did the screenplay for the very underappreciated and unknown Loaded Weapon, specifically known as Loaded Weapon 1. Truly one of my favorite spoof movies starring Emilio Estevez, Sam Jackson, and Tim Curry. And I also forgot, also starring, and now I'm completely blanking on his name, Captain Kirk.
I'm also blanking on his name now, thanks to you.
But he was in
William T. No.
William Shatner. Yeah. William Shatner.
There you go. I was just coming up with names.
William T. Tiberius. So as for our... That's Kirk's middle name. For our third...
He's getting all my characters mixed up.
The man, the character, they're the same. As for our third person attributed to writing this, some of Jim Koof's more well-known writing credits after Dumbo Drop are Rush Hour, one of your perennial favorites, Snow Dogs, and National Treasure. So, not world-changing credits, but also not guaranteed successes from these individuals. Doug Richardson eventually turned down the offer of $1.3 million in 1995 dollars to rewrite Dumbo Drop. So, do you think the approach of what Disney wanted, a light-hearted comedy set during the Vietnam War, was that doomed from the start?
If we're to believe Doug Richardson, and I'm going to go with yes, I believe him.
Well, I mean, why would he lie?
Why would he lie? And I encourage all the listeners to go out and find that article because it's a nice little read. It's relatively short. He read the original script and he was like, yeah, I can see why they want to rewrite. So mm-hmm. Already that sounds bad. And he turned it down because he's like, there's no way I can make this movie funnier.
And they specifically wanted him because he just came off of Bad Boys with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. And they're like, you made that funny?
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, well, I'm working with funny actors here. You guys have Ray Liotta and Danny Glover.
Ray Liotta. He doesn't even mention Dennis Leary.
I'm thinking Dennis Leary wasn't even in the cast at that point.
Was that so? Are you thinking that's a panic cast?
I think that's what happened. They said we need a comedian up in here, and they pulled in Dennis Leary.
And then they go on to write zero jokes for him.
I mean, this who was the writer was the Police Academy guy.
That also wrote zero jokes of Police Academy 3, 4, and 5.
I was going to say, I haven't seen those, so I don't know if they have jokes or not, but if it's... Ugh. I mean...
I like them. I like... come on. I like the Police Academy movies. They're fun.
I haven't seen 3, 4, or 5.
Have you seen 1 and 2?
Yes.
You've seen 3, 4, and 5, then. One takes place in Moscow.
Well, maybe that's why there's no jokes written. He probably just rewrote the script, the original script as it was. He says, it's good enough as it is.
I don't know why I just got the image of you saying that as Jay Leno.
Hey. It's good enough as it is. Here you go, guys.
They're bobbing your head. No. So, Jay Leno. It's not my intention with this podcast to just crap on movies. I think there's enough content out there that already does that, and I'd rather not focus on that sort of thing. But it's still fun to joke about these things. But making a movie is practically a Herculean task, and making a great movie is nearly impossible. With that said, there is still value in being able to discuss and criticize certain aspects of a movie. So let's take a look at some highlights and lowlights we each identified and see what we get. So, in your opinion, Angel, what are the highlights of Operation Dumbo Drop?
So, one of the highlights is the elephant herself. I think she was a female.
Hey, do you know elephants have breasts like humans?
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. But yeah, I think the elephant was a highlight. She did good. She was okay. I think the biggest highlight is the elephant drop out of the airplane.
It was pretty crazy. It's a high tension situation, so they drop Botat, the elephant, out of the airplane, and imagine this, the parachute doesn't open.
No.
So then Ray Liotta has to, as Ray Liotta, he's not T.C. Doyle anymore, he's just himself. He jumps off and doesn't pull his chute. He has to manually pull Botat's and save the day.
Yeah, he has to catch up to her because she's fallen several meters away already. So he somehow...
Mm-hmm. He has to, like, do the tight,
yeah,
tight little, like, skydive to get super fast. To go faster than elephant dropping. I think I read somewhere that I think at least 6 of their animatronic elephants that they dropped didn't, their chutes didn't open.
Yep.
Just crashed to the ground. Yep. So it's possible.
I think that's a highlight because I think it's just knowing that even their attempts to film this, they screwed it up because the thing just kept not opening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, it's a good thing we didn't drop an actual elephant out of this thing.
You know, someone thinks they did. Someone out there saw this movie and said, my God, they dropped an elephant out of that cargo plane.
It's a good thing they opened that chute in time. And you know what?
They tasked Ray Liotta to do that.
You know what? God bless them. That's what movies are for, to get us to believe again.
To believe again.
To believe.
I don't. If it's not in a movie, I don't believe it.
Yeah, I think that's the most highlight.
That's the highlight. Yes. The Dumbo being dropped is the basically highlight. Nothing else.
I mean, the acting was okay.
It's serviceable, but it's also like pre postage stamp mailed in.
I read somewhere that Dennis Leary in an interview said that him and the rest of the crew would carry a picture of the house they're going to buy from the salary that they were going to get from this movie to help them persevere.
Yeah, because it was sort of an arduous filming. But it's interesting you say that because I see that a lot as like a negative thing. Like what he's saying is like lifting the veil to these actors that should be these, you shouldn't want the money. It should be about the art.
Yeah.
Like, No, you're, that is your job to do this. Like, you should want the money as well.
Yeah, so Doug Richardson, you should have done the rewrite.
Yep. Missing out on that 1.3 mil. When in the same article he says he did Bad Boys because he needed the money. Needed even more money from Dumbo Drop then. So for me, I do like the idea of like attempting to present something good and decent that occurred during an absolutely brutal war, but that can be an extremely difficult endeavor to do. And as far as the characters go, I did enjoy everyone in it, even if they really never had any growth, like beyond Leota's Captain Doyle just becoming slightly less of a jerk by the end of the film. I thoroughly enjoyed in the beginning of the movie that it just seems like every character just wants to crap on Doyle for some reason. So he starts off in a helicopter where the pilot like seemingly flies erratically in an intentional manner to cause Doyle to puke. And then he immediately gets pranked on not only by Cahill when they first meet, but the entire damn group of elders that are with Cahill, making him drink some sort of horrible wine and having then an elephant put its trunk all over his face. Like, that's the first 5 minutes in the film. They're just punking Doyle and then giving him Nestle Crunches for some reason. If what the Blu-ray relayed about Doyle being just out of West Point is true, but I don't know how that works because he's also a Green Beret. I don't know where that comes from, but maybe they were just trying to razz him and show him he really doesn't know anything and he's like the new guy in town. That's my only guess. But it's like the writers were like, F this guy. Like, did you get the same sense of that in the beginning?
Oh, definitely. It's weird because when they pranked him to drink that alcohol stuff, I wasn't sure if they were pranking them or not because of the way it was played out. Like, like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if the script that there was just not good.
Yeah, like, Danny Glover plays his character as like this transcended individual. And it's kind of weird.
When they first introduced his character, I thought it was going to be like an Apocalypse Now situation.
He's going Brando. He is wearing like no underwear.
Yeah.
And just there's a lot of Glover glutes that you can see.
Yeah.
It was also pretty crazy in the beginning of the movie with this helicopter scene where they intentionally flew the helicopter under a bridge. There was probably only between the bridge and the ground 100 feet of distance. It was a pretty wild acrobat for this movie. And you get like 3 seconds of it and it's over.
Yep. It's probably the only point in the film that I actually felt adrenaline rush through me.
As they're like dodging gunfire from the Vietnamese, and I don't know. It's weird though. Also, now that I think about it, the beginning of the film seems to portray like we have to have a sympathetic view for Leota's Doyle, but then he instantly changes as he's just a jackass.
Yeah.
So I don't like they present him as this like this guy we should be feeling sorry about because he's being treated this way, but then he doesn't earn that sympathy. Yeah. By the way, he acts.
He's by the book.
By the book. By the book. What book? Nobody knows, but he's by it. I really enjoyed Dougie Doug in this, but his character seemed like so one-dimensional, it was disappointing. His character is just, he's like a week out from getting out of the war, and so he's not even leaving his tent, and he's like extremely superstitious.
Yeah.
Isn't he also in Cool Runnings and the one that kisses the egg?
Yes.
He's double superstitious characters.
He's just great at doing it, I guess.
Dennis Leary's character tries to sell him a bottle cap for like $40, saying it's been blessed or whatever.
Yeah, he has a whole story behind it. Mm-hmm. And then Danny Glover's like, that's the bottle cap of the drink he's got right now.
The whole movie, that he just plays this superstitious guy that is just wants to get out. At the same time, they were playing it so much that he wants to get out. You expected him to be killed.
Yep. I thought the same thing. I'm like, hey, if they want to make this funny, he should die.
Let's go to really dark comedy. But the only thing that dies in these movies are elephants.
and Lynn's dad or something.
Or something. Somebody.
Some family.
Yep, but it is only his dad. No, I think he says parents, but there's only a father on the elephant. Yeah. And, I mean, continuity? Who knows? Is Lynn a bad narrator? I don't know. Untrustworthy narrator. I mean, he
keeps saying number one, A-okay, so.
Oh, that was... So there's this, now that you say that, there's a scene where he's like, instead of saying number one A-okay, he says, like, gets really upset with Cahill or Doyle, maybe both of them. He says, you're number 10. so dumb.
That's good. That cuts deep, man.
And then he like pulled a knife and tried to kill one of them. He tried to kill Doyle. That is the comedy. So Doyle has to administer Botat the elephant a tranquilizer in rectal fashion, which of course leads to a situation so funny it causes you to slightly blow out air out your nose. With that though, there is a great scene on the Frenchman's boat where Botat gets seasick and just pukes everywhere, which I enjoyed because elephant puking on a small French boat is funny to me. That boat was close to just going under. It was so much weight on that. unintentional highlight, and I don't know if you noticed this during the film, Angel, but for me, at the end of the movie, when Ray Liotta's character is celebrating with Botat, the quality of the film plummets off a cliff for just a scene, just like 3 seconds. All of a sudden, the lighting is about 50 shades darker. There's like heavy film grain, like someone was shooting with home video and accidentally edited it into the movie. And I'm assuming it was somebody deemed it a vital shot. They had limited time, and that was just the best that they were able to capture for some reason. It was just so shockingly out of place. I kept thinking about it after the movie was over, like several days after. I was like, wow, that scene was so dark and out of place, like literally dark. It was hard to watch and see what's going on. Do you remember that part?
I don't.
See, it worked in editing then. It didn't have any impact on you. Overall, the clear highlight for me, like you said, Botat the elephant. The elephant was fantastic. Maybe Disney was right to want to just focus on the elephant comedy because 20-some years after seeing the movie, the strongest memories I had were the elephant. And the problem was the elephant comedy, though, you know, it wasn't funny. It wasn't all that funny. Besides the puking, that was good. So what do you identify as the real lowlights of the movie?
Well, there's several lowlights, I think. And I think the puking scene that you love so much is actually one of them. Because, again, it was a missed opportunity for funnies. They could have had...
I know. Someone didn't get like chunks blown on them. It was just onto the deck.
Exactly.
And then Farley's just like mopping
it. I'm like, that right there, you could have had the elephant just... all over somebody. Mm-hmm. Not Ray Liotta.
On Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary, of course. At some point, Dennis...
And then he does like some quip. Like he quips back like, I don't know.
And
I got puked on. Like, I just got slimed.
Yeah, and the parts that... Like I said, there's many parts like that in the movie where there's missed opportunities. There's a point where... When Dennis Leary's character is just like, I'm done, I'm leaving. And Danny Glover threatens to tell him. He's like, yeah, go ahead, tell him. And then he says the secret. He's like, I don't care who knows anymore, right? So before that, he says, I'm tired of this. I don't know if he's like, I'm tired, I'm hungry, and I'm covered in elephant shit. And I'm like, we don't see any of that. Like, you should have fallen in elephant shit or something.
He did.
When?
So when the... So there's the scene when they're in the town after they get the truck and they need to feed Botat because Botat's hungry. I mean, it's Botat's an elephant. You got to feed it a lot. So they bring Botat like to the market. Yeah. And then, of course, a situational funniness of elephant proportions. Botat sees a cart of bananas going past her and then she begins running after the bananas. The traditional like open market elephant chase begins where everything just gets knocked over. Following that, all the villagers get angry at Botat and the soldiers, so they have to get back to the truck quickly. At the same time, Danny Glover's character Cahill is being targeted by one of the Viet Cong soldiers, yeah. And he like kicks him in the face. Just like swift kicks him. And then they get in the truck and they drive away. As they're exiting the town, the soldiers, Ashford and Farley, were the ones with Botat. They have to, and Dennis Leary's character got left behind somehow. They have to jump onto the back, I think. As they're pulling away, Dennis Leary's character loses his footing and falls onto the elephant turds in the back of the truck. And then he's covered in elephant crap. It happened. It happened and you missed it. And you're saying negative things about the film, and it happened in the film.
This is the problem with the film. I remembered hearing him say that. So I rewinded it to see, like, when did this happen? And I still didn't catch it. I don't know when that happens. So it's ridiculous.
He falls in it. He falls in it face first and he rolls in it.
Oh my goodness. I rewinded it and I did not see any of that. This is how ridiculous this movie is.
Do you have your eyes closed? My God.
Well, aside from that one, we still have the other issues. For example, it's supposed to be a family-friendly film, so why is Dennis Leary saying stuff like, I'm covered in elephant shit?
Does he say that?
Yeah! Those are the exact words.
Does PG let you get one shit in?
We're talking about the helicopter scene in the beginning, and you mentioned they're getting shot at by the Viet Cong, and it's like, everyone's just so incredibly, like, this is totally normal. Oh, we're getting shot at. Dodge. Mm-hmm. Like, guys, mm-hmm. You're getting shot at. Why aren't you freaking out? Like, what is this?
I think that's intentional in the form of, this is such a run-of-the-mill occurrence for them that they are unfazed by being shot at, I think was the approach. But Leota's character, like, also stone-faces it all.
Yeah,
and, like, doesn't react. And I think he's also trying to put on a strongman face as they're, like, trying to make him puke and feed him Nestle Crunches.
One of the scenes where the gunner, I'm pretty sure one of the bullets hits the inside of the chopper, and he's just, like, dodges it, like, oh.
He dodges it. He looks at the down the barrel of his gun. He's basically like, now we're deep frying. And
I'm just like, where is the sense of urgency? What is this?
The whole movie has zero sense of urgency.
Yeah, none whatsoever. Even when they're fighting the Viet Cong, they're just punching them and headbutt like butting them with the guns. Like, nobody's getting killed. Right, they're mm-hmm. just getting knocked out. So,
well, even I think it's Dougie Doug that saves somebody at the end because he gets stuck in a tree, and that's funny. And then he gets himself out, and he, instead of shooting everybody because it's a family film, he runs up yelling and shoots his gun in the air, waving it back and forth. Yeah. And then the Viet Cong are so off put by this, they're like, "What's going on?" And then they surrender immediately. When there's like six of them and one Dougie Doug shooting in the air.
Yeah. There's so many. I guess this is the broader point, is that this movie is set in the Vietnam War. And it's like, why are we trying to make this into a comedy, guys? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't make mm-hmm. sense. A lot of reviewers of the time also said something similar. Like, they don't understand why this is taking place in the Vietnam War. And why it's meant to be a comedy. The only time where we get like sentimental stuff is in the beginning when Lin is loses his family, and Botat is supposed to have rescued him, and she's getting shot at when he's recounting the story. So we're like, oh man!
And they like show it.
Yeah, they show all of that because they want us to feel. But everything else is like, no, we sanitize it all.
And then they show Botat's like bullet scars.
Yep. You know, actually, I take it back. One of the highlights of the film was definitely James Hong.
He was very good. I mean, that's where the comedy came through. He was very good in his role.
Yeah.
Playing a blind man. That transcended Danny Glover was the only one that knew he was blind.
Yeah. He seems to know everybody in this area. Like, oh, yeah, I'm winning with the people. Even though they were mad at all of them when the elephant got killed.
Oh, well, that was Doyle's fault.
Well,
it wasn't Danny.
Yeah, Glover. But they were still mad at all of them. You know, yeah. All the art. Get out of here, Americans. They were given more. They were given
Ray Liotta.
They were given a deadline. Like, if you don't get us an elephant by Friday, you're done.
But that was self-imposed by Cahill.
Yeah.
Because there's this festival coming up, and the Fire King has to ride in on the elephant. No explanation of what he's even talking about.
Another low light, the airplane trip.
This is, which one?
The one where they first tranquilized the elephant. This is the... Mm-hmm. It's the highlight of the lowlights, I think, for me, because we have the Green Berets and these the crew flying the airplane. They're having a back and forth about, we're not going to carry an elephant or whatever. And eventually the guy concedes and says, only if the elephant is tranquilized. So they get it tranquilized, they get it on the plane, and they're...
A rhinoceros drink.
And they're flying and they're in the air, and then the elephant starts to wake up, and it turns out that the other tranquilizer they had was ruined by, was it Farley?
Farley fell on it.
And so they're like, oh no, what do we do? And then the elephant wakes up and then it starts rocking the plane, and they
I think Ray Liotta's trying to sit on the elephant's head to keep it down. He gets launched in the air.
So the pilot's like, we got Tuco Salamanca from Breaking Bad coming out to stop them. I don't know if you've seen Breaking Bad, but...
No, but I know the guy, the...
Yeah.
He tries to, like, mean mug him to death and says,
yeah,
I'm going to put that elephant down, basically.
Yeah, so they start fighting. They start wrestling. They open up the hatch. They're trying to drop the elephant out of there so that they can save themselves. And so they're at the point where... Tuco is about to like bash Cahill with a fire extinguisher. He's right by the hatch, and he just wants to bash him so that he kind of falls off the plane. And it's like, why are they trying to kill these people? I don't understand. And why is nobody like reacting to this other than, oh, we're fighting? Arr. It was just weird.
When they land and then like fly away. No one ever brings this up ever again that American soldiers just try to kill each other. And then I think the same pilots show up later in the movie.
And everything's...
to lift them again.
Okay, number one.
No, they're number 10s.
Yeah, it's just... There's a lot of like a lot of that in the movie that's just like, what is happening? Like, why are... Like, everyone's reacting to the wrong things.
Yeah, like huge overreaction. That was just like instantly trying to kill your fellow soldiers, and the elephant.
I'm gonna finish with this one. I consider this a highlight slash lowlight when they're with James Hong, where they're getting the elephant bow tat, And he kind of made it like, good luck controlling that thing.
Like Botat's a piece of garbage that they want to get rid of.
So Danny Glover's like, anyone else here know how to work an elephant? And Ashford, Dougie Doug, responds with, I was in love with a fat woman once, but she never listened to me. And I'm like, how the hell did they get this in the movie? Like, what the?
I was watching the movie with my wife, and she like... wasn't paying too much attention, but heard that line, popped up like, what? What are you saying?
It's like, yikes. What's weird is that it's like everyone else didn't react once again. So there's just like, whatever. And it's like, was that meant to be funny to them or to the audience? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, 90s, fat joke, you're dialed in. Jokes. That gets a laugh out of the audience.
Oh, man. What a movie.
Especially fat wife joke. Come on. I mean, doesn't that's boomer humor. It doesn't get better than that. For me, I think it is the tone of the movie is the low light. It just seems wrong to attempt to tell a family comedy set in the Vietnam War. And I just don't know who the target audience for this movie is. Like, is it for children to want to go see it, to see the elephant and laugh? Or is it for parents to want to see and know that they can bring their children to it to see and feel safe about that? For this type of movie, you have to sanitize the comedy to meet the family content, except for Dougie Doug, and also the war content set in a war movie has to be sanitized. Like, because of that, I said it before, there's no urgency or danger in any of this. Even though in the first 20 minutes of the movie, Cahill sets a deadline that they have to get the new elephant back to the village by Friday. And I'm pretty sure there was no context of what day it was when he said that. Was it Wednesday and they have to get back in 2 days? Was it Saturday and they have to get it back by Friday the next week? It's not clear, and they don't seem to care either. The one thing that took me out of the movie the most was how the Viet Cong instantly figured out what was going on. They instantly understood the entire concept of everything. So in the movie, the Viet Cong kill the villager's elephant because they find a Nestle Crunch wrapper from Doyle's character that one of the kids takes from him. Knowing it came from an American, they execute the elephant as punishment for presumably helping the Americans. And the whole reason that Cahill's character was there was that they were in hopes that they could get like a beneficial relationship and they can watch the Ho Chi Minh Trail from nearby and keep an eye on what's going on. So after like the fist fight on the plane when Bo Tat wakes up, it's reported to what I believe is the same Viet Cong soldiers involved with the village hundreds of miles away that an elephant was seen coming out of a cargo plane. They instantly deduce it is a replacement elephant for the one that they killed and declare that the elephant must just never make it to the village. This just sets up this giant cat and mouse scenario where the cat fumbles for 60 minutes trying to get the mouse, when in reality it should have just been like they should have just waited in the village, their destination, that they knew that they were going to. Like, that was frustrating for me to watch that. Like, the henchmen were so dumb. But maybe that was part of the comedy, I don't know. And also, bless his heart, but Corin Nemec's character, Lawrence Farley, served absolutely no purpose in this movie. Legitimately, you could have cut all of his scenes, and I don't believe a single thing would have changed overall in the entire story. And it frustrates me to no end when something like that occurs. Because I liked his character. I liked, like, he was, like, supposed to be this small-town farm boy. Yeah. He did, like, nothing happened. At least with Dougie Doug, he was, like, the artillery guy that when they were on the French boat, he called in the airstrike.
That's right.
That was his purpose. But I do not remember a single instance where Farley mattered.
Well, he knew how to tell the elephant go.
But he didn't need to. The elephant was already going to save Lynn. Yeah. On its own.
It's one of the things that made me laugh was in the end when the Viet Cong, they're like the elephants parachuting down, and they're like, I didn't sign up to shoot elephants.
Such a noble ideal.
Oh my god.
So how close were our memories and your predictions? How about your predictions? How close were those?
Before I get...
Was anything predicted?
I'll tell you one thing. I did an anti-prediction where I kept writing that nothing happens to Ray Liotta's character when, in fact, it always happens to him.
Yeah, he's the one that's got to do the tranquilizer into Bo Tat's rectal area. Yeah. And then they keep... like, bringing that up as a joke. And the puke thing, where they, like, the whole beginning of the movie is shitting on Ray Liotta.
I had a general sense that somebody would be upset with this mission, so that's kind of true.
Dennis Leary?
Yeah. Before I continue, though, I did do a huge disservice to Dougie Doug, and he does redeem himself in the movie. And I'm going to say this is a highlight. Do you remember when Lynn is telling him the story about the elephants? He says, in the beginning, all elephants were white. And he tells him this whole thing of lore. And at the end, what's his name? Ashford. He says, mm-hmm. Let me tell you some advice, Lynn. Next time you tell that story, start with all elephants are black.
Nope. It started out black. I thought that was funny.
That was the only funny thing in that movie.
I mean, Dennis Leary's arc of revealing his secret of sleeping with the general's wife when he really thought it was the general's daughter. Yeah. That wasn't funny to you?
I mean, it was odd.
He's a macho man.
It was odd, and it's like, why do we care about this? Like, it didn't really matter.
I did like his gag of constantly having top secret orders that he would just, like, thrust at people to get whatever he wanted.
Oh. Yeah.
And then people just go along with it. I mean, we also completely skipped over the part where they stole...
At some point, they hijacked the plane. Yeah, the mission was canceled, and they're like, no way.
No. They completely went against orders. Like, they are all getting dishonorably discharged from the military. Yeah.
Except Ray Liotta doesn't, so they're like, ah, it's fine.
Yep, yeah, nothing happens to him.
Let's see, what else did I get wrong? they did sing a song, so I got that part right.
What song did they sing?
The opera singing.
Oh, yes, yes. I forgot. He goes...
I guess I got the...
You got the continent wrong.
I got...
You went Africa.
I got, the bad guys were also wrong. I got somebody falling in poop, I guess, that I completely didn't see. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, come on. I can write movies. Hey, come on. Just give me a roommate.
I once again thought Jay Leno there.
It's Jay Leno here. Come on. Come on. Just give me... I'll get my car, all my many cars, and I'll do a rewrite. Come on.
So did you hear about the elephant?
The head bob.
So, as for my memories here, as far as I remember, 10-year-old me in 1996 did not have a single understanding of what the hell the Vietnam War was. I think, like, the reason for this is that there is hardly any war that occurs in this film at all. Mm-hmm. It was more of just, like, an escort of this elephant. Where this memory came from that it was all a declining elephant population, I have no clue, but I legitimately thought about this. As far as Dennis Leary's character, I think my mind just melded him and Bill Murray's together from another elephant movie in the year after, 1996, Larger Than Life. Both characters are like con man types who are just like, they're not good men. They're just out there for their own gain. I find it interesting that they just blurred together for me. These characters from different movies, different elephant movies, came together and formed one character. And I have a specific memory of him outside a like Big Top Carnival. I don't even know if that occurs in Larger Than Life. I don't think it does. So where this memory comes from, I'm very confused. That's how memory works. Ray Liotta's character is exactly what I remembered. He is just a by-the-book, no-nonsense, and hardly grows it at all. By the end, like, he's like, okay, Cahill, I'm with you on this. Like, we're doing it for the elephant. But he's still a jerk. So the memory I have of the elephant getting stuck in a doorway isn't quite accurate, but when Farley's riding Bo-Tat as the elephant rushes into the town to save Lynn, he stops right at the doorway. So I had a true memory, I suppose, of this movie. So I was almost there. The elephant's entire purpose is to help with construction. And at one point, Bo-Tat assists in pulling up an absurdly large tree trunk. It was really large. Which, to my understanding, is what the elephants this was based on were meant to do. They were there to help tear down lumber. So it seems this was a nod to the original operation that the movie is based on. Are there either Operation Barroom or Baroom? I have no idea how I have no memory of Lynn or the other soldiers at all. When I was writing down my notes, did not ever once think that there was a child actor in this movie. One, I never even crossed my mind, and he is a very significant part of this movie, and also the other soldiers, but Farley, easily forgettable. He does nothing, as I said. Dougie Doug's Ashford is, at least, I suppose he's the more comedic side of them. I guess Farley's really the straight man of all of them. How I forgot Lynn, that is, that's questionable.
Yeah, how could you forget? A-okay, number one.
The entire time of this movie, I just thought of the kid from the Indiana Jones movie.
Short round?
Yeah, that's all I thought of. Like, they sound very similar, and I don't know if that was intentional on their part or what. It was really weird.
Just your average Asian actor in the 90s. Just play this one character.
Specifically when he's like the A-OK number one. Like, it was very reminiscent of that. And it was off-putting. I didn't like it.
I think it's a dated kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Going into the end here, what would you change about Operation Dumbo Drop, if anything? Or all of it? Like, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, I would probably do my movie.
The African terrorist with Russians involved?
Yep. It wouldn't take place...
And it is Zimbabwe's
zoo. It wouldn't take place in any war. Definitely have a child writing to the U.S. government about saving the elephant. That's going to pull at the heartstrings, I think.
So who would be your president in this movie that reads that letter and has to mobilize the troops?
Who's that guy that played the president?
Dennis Quaid played Bill Clinton. God. In a made-for-TV movie.
Oh my goodness, I have not seen that. I would have gotten Val Kilmer.
As who?
As the president.
But as what president?
Just the,
like George Bush
just
Sr.?
The president. Just like, oh, just like,
I wanted a real life individual.
Deep Impact had a fake president. My movie's gonna have a fake president.
It sets me off when it's not a real president. I want real presidents in my movies.
You want continuity. You want to figure out what timeline.
I want to see how Ronald Reagan would handle.
Well, an asteroid in that case, coming to the Val Kilmer will be Lincoln.
We're going 1860s,
or he'll play Mark Twain, the president, in an alternate history.
Val Kilmer as President Mark Twain with his white suit. I
mean, he was doing a Mark Twain show before he got sick, so he's perfect for the role.
What?
Yeah. Like, he was like a one-man show as Mark Twain.
Why?
Because he loves acting, I guess.
Like, was he, like, full-blown acting as Mark Twain?
Yeah,
the Mark Twain in The Next Generation that shows up? Did you ever see that episode?
No.
What? So there's a whole, like, arc where they go back in time and Data meets Mark Twain.
Jeez. I know they go back in time. I did not know he met Mark Twain.
And as an actor that's, like, a Mark Twain enthusiast. He's full-blown Samuel Clemens. Yep. And Val Kilmer did that?
He sure did. You can check it out at his...
Was it like a play?
It was...
Like one, like a live show, not a recorded thing? I just can't see it. At all. Like, literally, I feel like you're gaslighting me.
I feel like that's going to happen a lot in this show. Because I'm just going to keep throwing weird things at you. And you're like, that didn't happen in that movie, did it? Anyway, let's get off the president thing. I'm gonna change.
No, you never give me a real answer.
About the president?
Yes.
Val Kilmer would be playing I don't know, President Reagan.
Okay. I don't like it, but that's an answer.
So I would recast for sure these characters. So
is this your all star cast?
All star cast. That's right. Mm-hmm. For Captain Cahill, sorry Danny Glover, we're getting John Goodman.
Oh, whoa! That's right. I didn't think about that. That is a very good casting.
That's right. For Doyle,
Let me go with my Cahill then.
Okay.
Well, I suppose, what's your reason for Goodman?
I mean,
just because he's John Goodman.
Exactly.
So this would have been prime Roseanne.
Yeah.
John Goodman. Yeah. Dan. Dan.
Arnold, I think his name, the name was.
No, it's...
Yeah.
They're not... The, are they the Arnolds? Yeah.
Are we going to have to, rewatch Roseanne?
I think it's Dan Roseanne. Her name is Roseanne Roseanne. Roseanne. Like Mario Mario and Super Mario. And Luigi Mario. Just a blanket John Goodman as the transcended a
perfect transcendent character, soldier. I think.
I went I'll guess who I went with Cahill.
I have no clue.
I went so mid 1990s hard to beat actor, killing it in Home Improvement. The Santa Claus came out 94. Toy Story, 95. He could easily play the more veteran role that Cahill plays, but deliver some laughs with it. Tim Funny Man Allen.
Oh my God.
He was looking for his big break in live action movies and wasn't getting it after, besides Santa Claus, but Tim Allen would have been a perfect Cahill.
Yeah, I could see it. I think he'd be trying to. Oh. The only problem is that I think he'd be trying to be too funny.
No, Windsor would have reined him in as a director. he reined in a whale in Free Willy, really a porpoise. I think porpoise. Is what killer whales are. But he made that thing jump out of the water. He directed that scene.
Okay.
I think he could direct Tim Allen to act.
Well, that already happens in the future. Anyway. Okay, so my Doyle is a bit controversial here.
Okay. You're the king of controversy.
So we have John Goodman, you know. I feel like he presents this I think he gives off this presence of, you know, reverence to this village. And here we got this hot shot coming out of straight out of whatever the hell that
West Point, according to the back of the Blu-ray.
He's coming and he's by the book and he's stickler, right? So Ray Liotta, I don't know if he did it well, but I think I know somebody who can, and that is Denzel Washington.
Oh, Denzel. So would he be the straight man to John Goodman's laughs?
Yes.
I could see it. I went with, in the midst of Fresh Prince, he straight out of West Point, playing off of Tim Allen. We see in 1996, a year later, that he could go on to play a funny soldier. So imagine Will Smith doing elephant comedy. I got Will Smith as Doyle. And my budget is just like raising. I'm at like a $30 million budget.
Hold on. I don't think Will Smith was worth that much then, right?
I think he was already. I think Men in Black already came out. Oof. I mean, he's already after that a leading man in Hollywood. Oof.
You're spending too much money here, man.
Mm-hmm. How about your Ashford?
You know, Ashford is he's superstitious. He doesn't. He's going home in a week. He doesn't want to get reassigned, but he gets reassigned anyway. So he's gotta just stay alive. Pauly Shore.
Just like a really neurotic conspiracy theory, Pauly Shore. Always looking over your shoulder. I want that movie. John Goodman, Denzel Washington, and Pauly Shore. So I think people in 95, one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, and I think people forget how well he did comedy. Major League is one of my favorite movies, and in 95 also saw Tu Wong Fu come out, and also I think in general one of the biggest stars maybe of all time, Wesley Snipes as Ashford.
That's funny. I almost went with Wesley Snipes for one of my characters, but I said no.
As who?
I don't know yet. I was it. I just said no. We can't. We can't have him.
Well, in mine, we can. We get all the snipes we want.
Wesley Snipes as Ashford. My God.
Making fat jokes.
I don't even know how you'd pull it off.
Perfection.
He'd be in character all week. Everyone would hate him.
My favorite Wesley Snipes story is I think it's Blade 3, where the director, he has to open his eyes. It's all he has to do in this scene. It's a close up of his goddamn eyes, and he refuses to open his eyes. So they had to in post digitally put eyes opening on his face for the scene to be completed. God. I think this was before he got to not opening eyes, Wesley Snipes.
Was he Demolition Man, Wesley Snipes, at that point?
I think that was around the same time, yep. I think Tu Wong Fu came out around the same time as Dumbo Drop. So he would have already been taken from pre-production, but in my perfect world, Wesley Snipes. How about Farley?
All right. I don't think I need to explain my Farley. I just tell it to you and you're going to say yes. Rick Moranis.
Oh, yeah. He would have been, I think, older than a normal grunt soldier would have been at that point in time. But I think all my guys are too.
I think he could have pulled it off.
Yep. Just put some makeup on him. Give him a short haircut. I would have liked that. I went with Emilio Estevez as Farley. So at this point, he was well into the Mighty Ducks series. So he's a proven family comedy commodity in my book. So they could have leaned in on him, especially Disney. But I guess he had other things planned. And finally, the maybe the most controversial character, David Poole.
You're going to get a kick out of this one. David Poole. He's a fast-talking, can get anything from anywhere, Jim Varney.
Yes, that would have been exceedingly better than Dennis Leary having Ernest be the requisitions officer. He needed so many more roles than just Ernest.
Definitely.
Also, a strikingly, absolutely handsome man back in the day. Like, look up some Jim Varney headshots.
Not only that, but he was a good actor. Mm-hmm. And they only just used him for Ernest, which is criminal.
And Slinky Dog with Tim Allen. That's right. So I went for David Poole. I replaced Dennis Leary, a self-proclaimed, I would say, controversial comedian, with maybe more family-friendly comedian, maybe? I don't know, depending on which comedy you're looking at. But I went with the I said, you know what, The Price is Right. And I went with Drew Carey.
Yes. And
easily could have also been a scumbag.
And he was military, so he could have played the role perfectly.
He'd know. Mm-hmm. Get him a nice, real short, flat top.
Oh, man. Drew Carey. Woo.
I want to see both those movies now.
Anyone Hollywood listening, please hit us up. We'll do Operation Dumbo Drop, the real movie.
Uh-huh. For a mere, I mean, back in 95, $100,000 was a lot a week. Now, maybe not. We'll do it for $100,000 a week. Split. In Thailand? On location? They didn't even film it in Vietnam. They went to Thailand. And they said, good enough.
Yeah.
So I suppose overall, were my memories closer or your predictions?
You saw the movie, so you had...
But that doesn't mean anything. I misremembered very integral parts with a completely different movie.
My favorite of your memory is that there is a carnival top and Dennis Leary is running the show. I want to see that movie.
I remember him in different clothing, but it's Bill Murray's clothing in Larger Than Life.
So was Bill Murray in the carnival top? Or was that also...
No, his father was a clown, and his father dies, and he, like, has to go collect his inheritance, and his inheritance is the elephant.
I need to see that movie.
You don't.
I mean, my predictions, I feel like they were kind of just trying to follow the flow of a film.
You went more, it sounded like action-oriented.
I did.
Die Hard with an elephant.
Well, I figured, yeah. That's Doug Richardson was actually the one who wrote Die Hard 2, so there you go. I could have done his job.
Now add an elephant.
I could have done the rewrite.
Jay?
Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
I'm just glad neither of us cast Kelsey Grammer.
I mean, come on. Like, no.
He would have been too highbrow. The Kelsey Grammer elephant doesn't match.
If anything, Kelsey Grammer would have been the guy that canceled submission.
Yep.
That's it. That's the only time we see him.
Or the president in your movie.
Which president would he be, though?
Kelsey Grammer. President Kelsey Grammer. 49. How would you scream if you got bit by Jay Leno? How would you scream if you're Jay Leno putting gasoline into one of your old cars and you caught on fire?
Funny thing about the gasoline.
What he sounds like anymore. Fucking Jay Leno. Oh man. Operation Double Drop, you just got deja movied. Drop onto our Instagram at Deja Movie Podcast and show us some love. Does anyone else here know how to work an elephant? All over somebody. Mm-hmm.